Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you this morning to our midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry. We go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning as well as when we create content for you here midweek. We would certainly appreciate that. Featured book this week is my book, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word, Volume 1. Volume 1 is on the doctrine of inspiration. This was released last year in 2022. As we are trying to move all of our notes from this series into book format, I'm excited to feature this book also because we are getting very close to the release of Volume 2. I'm hoping this might still be out by the end of the month of April, if not in April for sure, during early May. And Volume 2 is going to be covering the doctrine of preservation. So Volume 1, the featured book this week, is well over, it's about 340 pages. Volume 2 is like 360 pages. And we just continue to work our way through this content from This Generation Forever class. So if you would consider picking up a copy of this book as a way of supporting the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. A lot of good notes on here in here on the doctrine of inspiration, and stay tuned for an announcement when Volume 2 is ready. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So if you're into alt-text sites or just like an alternative to YouTube, please consider subscribing and joining us here on Rumble. I'm sure you could tell. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I have like my fourth or fifth head cold of this school year. So please just bear with me. I'm doing the best I can. I didn't want to not do a video this week. So this might be a little bit on the shorter side. And just bear with me, please, as I struggle through with my voice. So what I want to talk about in this video is something related to the preface, and it's going to be a little bit different video because I'm sort of soliciting some input from my audience related to a topic regarding the preface to the 1611 King James Bible. For those of you who have been following the channel, you know that as we've been working our way through From This Generation Forever, recently, we're all the way up into now the 200s as far as lessons in this series go. And I've been methodically and systematically working my way through the preface to the 1611 in this sub-series, A Proper Perspective on the Preface. And so we've been doing this now for a number of weeks. And I just taught lesson 201 this past Sunday. So this has taken quite a bit of time. I do envision all of this stuff on the preface being its own book, so it'll be part of the greater series, but I'm planning a sort of standalone volume just on this subject matter of the preface. I've received a lot of good and interesting feedback related to it. So what I want to do in this video is I want to sort of show something that I've observed in preparation for lesson 202, which will be this coming Sunday, and then kind of see what everybody thinks about this particular question, okay? So where we are right now, we're in subsection 13 of Miles Smith's famous preface, The Translators to the Reader. That's where we're at currently at in this series. And the title of subsection 13 is The Purpose of the Translators with their Number, Furniture, and Care. And this past Sunday, lesson 201, we talked about furniture here. And then we also talked about what their purpose was in that lesson. And where we're going in the next lesson, 202, is we're going to be looking at their number, just a brief thing about their furniture, and then care. Okay, so we're in subsection 13 of the preface, as Miles Smith is addressing these topics again. Purpose, number, furniture, care, as it relates to the translators, all right? Now, if you come down here in this subsection, there's a discussion about how long it took, or the length of time or the duration of time that it took the translators to do this project. And what Miles Smith does is he compares it to the legend of the Septuagint, okay? And it starts right here with this line. Neither did we run over the work, with the posting haste that the Septuagint did. Now look at this next clause. If that be true, which is reported of them, that they finished in 72 days. So as he's talking about how long it took them to complete the project of the King James Bible, he compares it to the legendary letter that says that it took 72 days for the translators of the Septuagint to create what would ultimately be the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. I've got a lot of other videos on this channel related to the topic of the Septuagint. I'm not going to get into all the controversies right here related to that. I just want you to see that what Miles Smith is doing here, as he's talking about how long it took the translators to complete the project, he's comparing it to the legend related to the Septuagint translators only taking 72 days of the project, okay? So with that context, let's come down to this slide right here. Now watch. Excuse me. None of these things, the work, hath not been huddled up in 72 days. So he's saying their work did take 72 days, but hath cost the workmen. So there's been a cost associated. There's been a cost to the translators to be involved in this project. As light as it seemeth, now watch, the pains. So the work, the pains of twice, seven times 72 days and more. So this is a little interesting statement here about how long it took. Again, the pains of twice 70, I can't read, I'm sorry. The pains of twice seven times 72 days and more, matters of such weight and consequence are to be speeded with maturity. I'm going to explain what that means this coming Sunday in Lesson 202. For in the business of a movement, a man feareth not the blame of convenient slackness. I'll explain what that means also this coming Sunday when we look at Lesson 202. What I want to zero in here in this video is this part right here. The pains of twice, seven times 72 days and more. Okay, so he's comparing the legend of the 72 days of the Septuagint with how long it took them. And he explicitly says that it took twice, seven times 72 days and more. So I'm going to jump into my notes now. For Lesson 202 and look at this, okay? So according to Smith, the project hath cost the workmen in that it was not completed in a mere 72 days, but twice seven times 72 days and more. Now, a simple mathematical computation of Smith's statement renders the following results, okay? So what I did is I took 7 times 72, and I got that from here, 7 times 72, that would be 405 days. Twice that number, which I'm getting from here, twice 7 times 72 days and more would be 1,008 days. Now, if you take 1,008 days divided by 365 days a year, you get a number of roughly 2.8 years, okay? Plus more, however much this undisclosed more is, Smith is not clear, okay? So we have roughly, so he's giving a number here, if you do kind of figure out the math, of 1,008 days, and if so that'd be a total number of days based upon this calculation, divided by, just kept it easy, 365 days in a year, about 2.8 years, okay? And plus this more, this undefined more, right? So the undefined more, as in more time, could have included more than 4 years, depending on the contribution of each individual translator. So it could have been 4 years, depending on the translator. Now, let me explain. For example, translators who served on the Committee of Final Review at the General Meeting at Stationers Hall, in addition to their individual and company work, no doubt served longer than those who were done after they completed their company work. So if you think back, just a brief summary, the rules called for an individual review, a company review, companies to exchange work, come back, reconfer, and then everything at the end to be sent on to the general meeting. So obviously different translators, it seems to me to be obvious that different translators are serving for different amounts of time, depending on how involved they are in the later processes to the creation of the King James. Okay. So an argument could be made that the additional time applied to Miles Smith himself. So the additional time could, I think, apply to Miles Smith himself. In addition to penning the preface that we're in the process of studying, Smith served on the first Oxford company that worked on the Old Testament prophets, as well as seeing the project through the press with the assistance of Thomas Bilson. So he's definitely involved, in my opinion, for way longer than 2.8 years, or just say roughly 3 years. What I'm soliciting some feedback on is how should we view these calculations. So I suggest here, perhaps the number offered by Smith above are an average of how long should say each translator, correct that typo, served, but there is no way to tell for sure. So I'm curious what the audience thinks. Is this 2.8 years viewed as a average of how long each translator served? How should we view this number of 2.8 years plus the undisclosed more, all right? It's clear to me that Miles Smith, John Boyce, Andrew Downs, these men that were part of the later stages in addition to the earlier company work, et cetera, in my opinion, served way longer than, let's just say, 3 years or 2.8 years. So I'm just curious what the audience thinks regarding this 2.8. Is this an average? How's exact should we view Miles Smith's statement here as far as the amount of time as it relates to how long the translator served? So I'm curious what you folks out there think about how to view that, and I'm hoping for some good feedback on this. So I am curious about it. I've been wondering about it all week, so I kind of decided to just make the video on it, this week's video on this particular question, okay? So, yeah, there's a lot more to unpack here in this subsection, in subsection 13 that we're going to be talking about this coming Sunday in Lesson 202, but I do want to see what the audience thinks about that question. Another thing I just want to mention is a brief programming note. So the earlier lessons to this series from This Generation Forever, of which this book is the notes, the featured book for this week, we have exhausted now the porting or the migration of the older videos from Norman Normal 55's YouTube channel onto now the Grace Life Bible YouTube channel. So moving forward, I'm probably not going to be live premiering those videos because they're already on the channel. But what I am going to be doing is sorting them, retitling them, updating the descriptions with all the links and information that we typically include in the description to our videos, as well as continuing to build out playlists, topical playlists, like you can see right here for canonicity, as well as continuing to add to the master playlist for the entire class. So the project is ongoing. It's not going to probably be as public as far as rebroadcasting, but we are definitely trying to streamline the way that information is presented here on the channel from This Generation Forever class. So if you've been benefiting from that class, please continue to check the channel. Particularly for these playlists, as we go back through, update the titles, build out the descriptions, and create topical playlists, as well as adding to the master playlist. If you're enjoying the content on this channel, please consider, as I said earlier, subscribing, ringing the alarm bell, stay current with the ministry. Please like this video, leave a comment, share it. Anything that you can do along those lines to help promote the channel would certainly be appreciated. Before I go, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never relied exclusively on in his shed blood for you on the cross of Calvary, his resurrection, his burial, his resurrection from the dead is the only total complete payment for your sin. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Stop relying on your own work, your own law keeping, your own ability to perform or make yourself right before the justice bench of a holy God. Christ came into this world. He took the curse of sin upon himself as he hung on the cross. He satisfied the offended justice of God, and he wants to give you eternal life as a free gift. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.